This is part two of an interview with Gertrude Hambura. In part one, Gertrude spoke about human rights violations in Zimbabwe and how she opposed the government producing a documentary, House of Justice, which can be seen on YouTube in three parts. The film documents land reform in Zimbabwe as, how Gertrude described it, government relieved white farmers of their land and redistributed it to the political elite. Is there a positive horizon? It's hard to say. Things have turned in a positive direction. Is it possible? Elections are coming up, I understand.
Well, the word election in Zimbabwe sends a very cold spine, because it means that there's a lot of manipulation, especially for those who are in the villages and in the farms. And there's a lot of arrest and human rights violations for the human rights defenders. I would say that recently we had a lady, one of our human rights lawyers, a prominent one, Beatrice Mutetwa, who was arrested for representing members of the opposition. I don't have full details, but he was in prison for almost 5 days. And I guess Canada lawyers, they also wrote to the regime to say, okay, if you can free her. So, you know, there's lots of arrests for those people in the civic society, because, this is another strategy of trying to silence them. You go out there, you want to do civic education, you want to teach the community on what is democracy, you are arrested for that. So it's really tough.
In terms of political parties, No one can be relied on, it seems.
I hear that there are about more than 20 political parties in a country which has got about 12 million people. But I want to believe some of these political parties, which are actually mushrooming, are a breed of the current regime of the ZANU-PF, because that has been the strategy to try and confuse people. I'm yet to know when they really get towards the elections that which are the authentic political parties which are going to compete. But so far, people are still relying on the Movement for Democratic Change, because that has been the only party born out of a labor movement which has been able to challenge the ZANU-PF regime. Right. So I don't know what is in store right now. I'm no longer on the ground.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Some of those footings which you saw in the documentary, I actually left when the people were actually living or staying by the roadside, and I don't know what has happened to them right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What day did you leave?
Actually, I left on the 25th of February 2010, having been called a week before by the army and interrogated on why I had produced that documentary. I had tarnished the image of the country by producing that documentary. So I was actually told that I should be thrown in prison and be tortured to death. And I had to network with the civic society, and I prayed earnestly for God to spare my life, and I had to leave the country with through a certain route.
Mm-hmm. Right. So where were your children when this?
Well, in such a situation, it was a very difficult decision for me to make, because it was a do or die situation. Either you stay in the country and die, or you leave the children behind, and then we will see what we can do with your children. So I had to leave. I went to South Africa and Zambia, where I stayed for some time, and the children joined me. But when a decision was made for me to be here, that was the toughest decision, because while I was in South Africa, it was just a stone throw away to Zimbabwe. Whereas when I got here, I had to look all over. I couldn't even see a similar tree which I would see in South Africa, which is the same as in Zimbabwe, or a bed. So it was a very difficult decision to make, and the children had to go back home and stay in hiding up until they got here.
Do you feel stuck?
I feel guilty because I abandoned the struggle. But in terms of peace, since my children and family are all here, we are okay. But I still
feel... I don't think you've abandoned the struggle.
I don't know.
Do you communicate with people back in Zimbabwe?
I do communicate with those who are in South Africa.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, based on what you know, what's happening back home now, do you think things have turned in a positive direction? Is it possible? Elections are coming up, I understand.
Well, the word election in Zimbabwe sends a very cold spine.
Okay.
Because it means that there's a lot of manipulation, especially for those who are in the villages and in the farms. And there's a lot of arrest and human rights violations for the human rights defenders. I would say that recently we had a lady, one of our human rights lawyers, a prominent one, Beatrice Mutetwa, who was arrested for representing members of the opposition. I don't have full details, but he was in prison for almost 5 days. And I guess Canada lawyers, they also wrote to the regime to say, okay, if you can free her. So, you know, there's lots of arrests for those people in the civic society, because, this is another strategy of trying to silence them. You go out there, you want to do civic education, you want to teach the community on what is democracy, you are arrested for that. So it's really tough.
So you definitely go back? Given a single chance, you'd go back?
I would love to go back, but I can't go back because those whom I have been fighting against are the ones who have taken over the land right now. Yes, I wouldn't go back. I'm actually trying to get my mother out. She has been denied a visa right now, so it's very... I'm the only child, so... But they've said, no, she can't leave the country. I mean, she's old. I just wanted her to get here for a visit so that she can see me, that I'm alive and kicking, to see her grandchildren. But they've said, no, she can't go. But I don't know. If ever I'm going to see her, probably I have to make arrangements to get her out of Zimbabwe and meet her in another country. So,
well, what's your mother's situation like then?
In terms of?
Well, in terms of... She's an elder. She's
she's not
farming.
Oh well. My mom right now is a peasant farmer, and she has a very small land which she farms for your own food, and yeah, she's okay. She stays with her sister in law and a brother. So she's okay. Old, but very healthy and energetic. Tilling the land is a kind of workout. So, yeah, she's okay. Even if she was going to fly here, she was going to do it by herself.
Mm. So how did she get her land?
She got it a long time ago before we were born. In fact, it was land for my grandmother. I haven't given up. Even those whom I communicate with in South Africa and one or two people in Zimbabwe, they say, we want you back. We really want you to come back. Our organization is silent. Our organization is dying. But I say, what about the risks? Well, say, we work out something. I said, this is not a situation of working out something. You know that. Yeah, they are saying that they really miss me. I really also, I miss my... One thing I miss here is getting in touch with the grassroots, because it's different from Africa, the situation here.
Yeah.
With us, we are 24/7 with the community.
Here, I guess you're a little detached.
It's a different setup altogether. I guess culture also contributes to that, and this is a developing country. a developed country, whereas with us, we are still growing, and it will take time, though, to be inside, maybe another 500 years to be a fully developed country. But otherwise, we are happy there doing whatever we want to do. The only thing we miss is that the democratic processes, the right to speak, because, yes, we might have the right to freedom, the right to speak, but the right to speak you end up in jail, you end up in Winnipeg, as you say. There's no freedom of speech.
Right.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So have you been in contact with other Zimbabwe people here in Winnipeg?
I've met a couple. The Zimbabwean community is not all that big like in other provinces here, but I've met a couple.
What are you doing now?
Well, I do a lot of volunteering work and also work in the community with a group home. Right now, I'm involved with a newly formed organization for women, Manitoba Rights Women, Rights for Women. I've attended only one meeting. Yes, I was really interested about what women were talking about in that organization. And what really inspired me was these women from Sudan, who we have said we have recently formed our own organization to educate people about what is happening at home. I'm working on that, yes, and also there were these other local organizations, who were saying that we are helping the girl child back in Africa. We are giving sanitary pads. And I was saying, before I left home, I was involved in a sanitary program for farm workers, because that is something which they did not have back home. We used to use newspapers.
Oh.
Yeah, newspapers. We used to use a certain kind of a tree, a bark, as sanitary pads. So, and yeah, organizations which were saying that this is what we are doing in Africa. And now when I left, my national center, the Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Union, had embarked in an awareness program to say, this is very unhealthy. You have to use sanitary pads. And there were some organizations which are actually donating sanitary pads to give to the community so that they can use. So, I am working on that. It might take time, but I haven't forgotten, especially the girl child. I'm really, really concerned about. Oh, well, we do have equality, but, culture is also contributed whereby we have always been confined in the kitchen, especially in the villages and in the community. Yes, but due to awareness programs, women were actually speaking out. That's why you hear me speaking out on behalf of the people in Zimbabwe. But previously, we usually will maintain our low profile, wait for the husband to go to work and come back. But when things came tough, we all actually joined the labor movement, the labor market, and we were working alongside with men, getting the same salary. But in terms of coming out in that cocoon, it's very difficult. And when the situation is really, really tough like this, if you have four children, two boys and two girls, you take a decision to send the boys to school and the children and the girl child is left to work at home or in the field. So that is a situation which we really need to talk about, fight against, that school is the best place for every child, whether it's a boy or a girl. So I'm working on that. I've actually approached a couple of girls at the University of Manitoba who said we are not going back home because of the situation. And I'm saying, why can't we do something? Well, maybe sooner or later you will hear us saying, here are the girls of peace working for other girls back home. Yes.
Thanks so much.
Oh, you are most welcome.
That was part two of an interview with Gertrude Hambura. You can watch her film House of Justice, found on YouTube, in three parts.